She had a assembly. She spoke about the Holocaust. Next week, as is Hashem, there'll be commemoration, Yom HaZikaron, in memory of all the soldiers who have died fighting for Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Yinkom Domam, Hashem should avenge all their blood. And following that, Yom HaAtzmut, which is a celebration of the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. And, as was mentioned, the six parshas, Parshas Tazria Mitzora, who most famous for the halachas of Lashon Hara, of Tzaras, that a person would contract for many things, not just Lashon Hara, but primarily for Lashon Hara, for bad midos. A person would have an ailment and about to run to the doctor, and someone says, no, don't go to the doctor, you got to go to the Kohen. That looks like Tzaras. The doctor's not going to be able to help you. So we'll try to tie those things together a little bit, and I want to share with you some thoughts that were said over by Rabbi Michel, Zichrono Livracha, the founding menahal of this yeshiva, who Chaitovsky remembers well, a great Talmud Chacham, a great man, who I was zochet to hear twice on Yom HaShoah. He spoke here. He was just nifter last summer. One time, he shared the following thought, and at the end of this, my words this morning, I'll share with you a different thought that he said, a different year. One year he said that he went on the March of the Living. March of the Living, many people join. It's become a tremendous event. And he has somewhat of a survivor. So he was there on the March of the Living, and I forget where he was, that there was a wall, a remembrance. He said, and I was thinking to myself, someone mentioned the pasuk, Kol d'mei achicha tzo'akim le'ilayim eno adama. Anybody know where that pasuk is from? Kol d'mei achicha tzo'akim le'ilayim eno adama. Excellent. When Cain killed Hevel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Cain, the unheard voice of your brother's blood is crying out from the ground. You don't hear it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I hear it. Shemayim, we hear it. So of course, that's part of the mantra. 6 million people, and as Rabbi Jacobson always points out, probably closer to 7 million or more, Kol d'mei achicha, the voice of your brother's blood, all of our brothers and sisters who were gassed and murdered during that time period is crying out from the ground. Rabbi Michel said when he was standing there, he had a different appreciation for that pasuk. The word d'mei also sounds like the word d'mama, which means silence. The voice of silence is crying out from the ground. What silence? The world's silence. That the world stood by as 6 million, 7 million Jews were being killed and did not intervene. For all the righteous Gentiles of the world, which we hear about a lot, presentations about, beautiful presentations by the eighth graders every year, the numbers, 20,000, I think in Yad Vashem we just saw this week, 20,000 something, and millions of people who did nothing. President Roosevelt, if you go to the Washington Museum today, there's an aerial picture taken from a plane of the train tracks going into Auschwitz. 50,000 people at the end of the war were being murdered in Auschwitz every day. The whole Hungarian Jewry only entered the war in 1944. They just killed them, just wiped them out. So quickly, so efficiently. Unbelievable, incredible, unprecedented wickedness. And the Allies could have bombed the tracks. At least it would have stopped them. They wouldn't have been able to kill as many people so fast. Why didn't they? So Michel said as he stood there, he had a different thought for that. Kol d'mei achicha tzo'akim elayim eno adama. The voice of silence, the unheard words of the world. It's a song from, I don't know how old it was. For 6 million tears fell to the ground. The world stood still. Didn't make a sound. It's a famous Jewish song. The world stood still, the world didn't say anything, which is perhaps the most scary thing of all. When the Mitzora was healed from his tzaras, one of the things that he brought was two birds. Part of his karbon, part of the karbonos that he brought was two birds. Very, very fascinating and unusual thing was done. One bird was slaughtered. It was shechted. The second bird, the Kohen took its feet and dipped it in the blood of the other bird and then let it free. Strange concept. What's the symbolism? Some of the Mefarshim say, maybe the Mitzora after speaking Lashon Hara, speaking badly about other people, thinking badly about other people, speaking badly about other people, will say, you know what the message here is? I better keep my mouth shut. I better never speak up. Just keep quiet. Just don't say anything. That's the symbolism of the bird that shechted. The blood that spilled. We know what it's like when people speak badly about other people or type badly about other people today or post things. Very serious averus of Lashon Hara, maybe worse on a computer, on blogs, on posts, and other types of things like that. That's the shechted bird. But the message to the Metzora is not just don't speak anymore. That's not the message. Martin Luther King Jr., very famous 1960s, who was killed, but the great champion of rights for the blacks, he said that in the end, it is not the... I don't know exactly how he said it, but it is not the painful words of our enemies that we will remember, but the painful silence of our friends. Why didn't they speak up on our behalf? And it's the same idea that we were talking about. It's not enough just to be quiet. There's a time when a person has to speak up. Speak up in defense of others. Speak up for Kvod Shemayim. Speak up for the honor of Torah. And speak up to give somebody chizuk. Speak up to give someone a compliment, to say something nice about someone else. It's not enough just to be quiet. That's not the message of Tzaras. You also have to learn how to speak properly. Use that koach, use that ability to speak properly in the right time, in the right way. That's all part of it. So the first bird was shechted to show what happens when a person misuses their power of speech, the most powerful function that we have. The second bird was let free. First it was dipped in the blood of its friend as a reminder. And then it was left free. Go chirp. Go give sing. But remember the lesson of what happened with the first bird. Remember what happens when a person misuses their power of speech. From the ashes comes life. The other symbolism of the bird is that a person learns their lesson. If the Metzora learns his lesson, not only is his sin forgiven, he becomes a much greater person. From the pool of blood of his friend, he flies away. He flies above the world, spreading his song and the beauty of a bird. A person grows from their challenges. And every one of us, in a certain way, has that responsibility. Ed Koch was the mayor of New York, one of the great mayors of New York, a Jewish fellow, for many years. And he once said, I am a survivor. What do you mean you're a survivor? You weren't living there. You weren't in Europe. And he said, because Hitler wanted to kill every one of us. He said, in that sense, just because I happened not to be there, God put me on the other side of the world, and so I was safe, I'm a survivor also, because that's what he wanted to do. Everyone sitting in this room, every one of us are survivors. Because our enemies, they want to destroy us. We grow from the ashes. The symbolism of Klal Yisrael is the symbolism of that bird, which with blood still on its feet, flies away and never stops. I was in Eretz Yisrael a bunch of years ago in a shul. It just struck me. It hit me so hard. You know, they have the memorial plaques like we have over here with names. But in that shul, there were two plaques. One of them was a regular plaque for people who were nifter. The second plaque was dedicated. It said on top, Elu Boneinu Shenaflu. These are our children, our sons and daughters who have fallen. Soldiers who were killed defending Eretz Yisrael. A whole plaque of names, painful, young, not much older than you. Late teens, 20s, people with families, people with futures who gave it up to defend Eretz Yisrael. Standing on the field of Gettysburg, President Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents in this country, said one of the greatest speeches, a short little speech. The Gettysburg Address. And in it he said that our job here is to make sure that those who have died on this battlefield shall not have died in vain. What does that mean? They shouldn't have died in vain. That means they all died. A person who dies for nothing, it's the most painful thing in the world. But a person whose memory is connected to the fact that he died defending, right? The revolutionary soldiers who died defending this country. They didn't die in vain. We have America. We have freedom today. President Lincoln said, that's our job. We have to make sure that they didn't die in vain by living according to what they wanted to die for. They were ready to die for. And every one of us as Torah Jews has that responsibility.
to live for what our ancestors, not even so many generations ago, and for what our brothers and sisters, soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, died for. And we preserve that heritage, then we are keeping their memory alive. So let me share with you the other thing that Rabbi Michel Zichrono Livracha shared on Yom HaShoah, here in Ashar, in Tovshin Ayin Dalet. There is an incredible passage in the Navi Yechezkel, which we just read about on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. A few years before Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was a group from Shevet Ephraim who said, that's it, we're leaving. We're leaving. Why Shevet Ephraim? Could be because they were from Yosef. Yosef was the ruler, and therefore his descendants took the Shibud much harder. The other Jews came later, but we were part of Ephraim. Ephraim from Yosef, who ruled this country. Like it affected them more deeply. Maybe that's why. And whatever it was, they got together and they left Mitzrayim. The Plishtim came out and slaughtered them in the desert. And there their rotted bones remained for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years until the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. At which time Yechezkel, who throughout Sefer Yechezkel, it's a big Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel Anavi, who said most of his nevuah in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael, and he's always called Ben Adam. He's always called Ben Adam. He's never referred to by name. Hashem refers to him as Ben Adam, son of man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yechezkel to that valley where these rotted bones have been sitting for hundreds of years. And he says, Ben Adam, son of man, say prophecy about these. First he says to him, he says, Ben Adam, Hasechiyenu Atzamo Seilo, are these bones going to come to life? Yechezkel was very wise. And he said, Hashem Elokim, Atoyadot, you know, I don't know. Who am I? Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, Hinovi. Say prophecy. He tells him, say prophecy about these bones. So Yechezkel says, the bones will come to life. And all of a sudden, these bones, which were laying dead, dormant, rotting in the desert for hundreds of years, they started to grow flesh and bones. And they came back to life. So Rabbi Michel said, I learned this Gemara before the war, which was before his bar mitzvah. He said, but I learned it again after the war, and I learned it completely differently. He said, there was a pile of bones outside Madanik, one of the death camps. Nobody touched them, they were just there. He said, I saw that whole medrash in a different way. And he said, the Gemara has three opinions. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Gemara in Daf Tzadik, Beis Amud Beis. Three opinions. What happened to those people who came back to life? They came back to life. The first opinion is, Mashal Haya. The whole thing was just a parable. It was just a prophecy. It was a vision. It never really happened. The second opinion is, no. They said Shira. And the Gemara goes through, what was the Shira? What song did they sing to Hashem? Hashem Emes U'Mechaye. It was a few different opinions. Hashem Emes U'Tzedek, Mechaye B'Rachamim. What was the Shira? But they sang Shira. And then what happened? U'Mesu. As soon as they finished their Shira, they dropped dead again. Rebbe Lezer ben Osher Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rebbe Lezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, said, Mesim Shehechio Yecheskel. Those people that Yecheskel, those dead people that Yecheskel brought back to life, Olul Eretz Yisrael. They got up and they went up to Eretz Yisrael. V'nosu Noshim, they married women. V'olidu Banim U'banos, and they gave birth to sons and daughters. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira al Raglov, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira stood up on his feet. I am a descendant of one of those people who came back to life. And these are the tefillin that were left for me by my father's father. I have the tefillin. So Rabbi Michel said an idea, and I happen to have heard the same idea expressed by my Rabbi, Rabbi Wein. So the same idea. These three opinions of what happened to these people are really three different perspectives and three different attitudes that happen to people after a time of Khurba, after any time of destruction. Some people, it's just a mashal. The idea of coming back to life, the idea of being able to rebuild after the death camps, after an inquisition, after pogroms, after any type of crusade, after any type of horrible event. It's just a mashal. It's just a vision. It's not real. It can't happen. The second opinion is that they stood up and sang Shira. We're free. We're liberated. They were excited. They walked out. But they couldn't sustain it. They sang Shira. They were excited. But it didn't last. God forbid they left. God forbid they died later. But at least their neshamas died. They couldn't keep it going. And then there are the guarantors of the future of the Jewish people. The ones who have caused that every one of us is sitting here today. The ones who stand up on their feet, despite their pain, with their feet still in the blood of their dead relatives, most of their relatives. V'olu Eretz Yisrael, they went up to greater places. They married. They had children. You know what it was? These people walked out of the camps with nothing. Nothing and nobody. We were watching a video with testimony of Rabbi Lau, former chief rabbi of Israel, and he said that before the war, his grandfather had 45 grandchildren. After the war, four. Four survived. It's unbelievable. And Rabbi Lau went up there to Israel. He became chief rabbi. His son is today the chief rabbi. And look at Eretz Yisrael, look at the Torah world, look at all of us sitting here today. Almost all of us had many relatives who were killed. Omar al-Raglov, he stood up and he said, Ani mibnei b'neihem, v'halolu tefillin. Look at these tefillin. You see these tefillin I put on every single day? These are the tefillin of my ancestor. And Rabbi Michel ended off and he said, before my bar mitzvah, just before his bar mitzvah, which was just before the war, on the eve of the war, he said, my father sent me. It was a sofer that was writing my tefillin, a tzaddik of a man. My father sent me to watch him write the parsha. I should see every step of the way of my tefillin being created. And he said, I sat and I watched him carefully write with kedusha and tahara. He says, and when he was finally done, and I watched them being created, he said, how I cherish them. When we fled the Nazis, he says, we couldn't take anything. At the run before the Nazis came into our town. He says, so what did I take? What do you take when you're running for your life? So I took my tefillin. He says, the original parshios are still in the tefillin that he said in Toshin Ayin Dalet. He said, I still wear. Ani mibnei b'neihem. V'halolu tefillin sheheniach li avi abba. These are the tefillin that my father left over from his father. Every one of us, we wear tefillin already, we wear real tefillin. We will wear tefillin in Mitzvah Hashem. We keep Shabbos. We keep Torah. We are making sure that they didn't die in vain. We are the birds that fly away, that the Rebbeinu Shalom preserved, the second bird, with the blood of our ancestors on our feet that fly away to keep it going, to build from the ashes, to be the eternal people. And when we keep the Torah, keep the mitzvot, that is what the celebration of Yom HaTzmaut is about. Going from Yom HaZikaron, from remembering those who gave all. Right? All gave some, but some gave all. To remember those who gave all. That's what goes into the celebration. Perhaps you could say Yom HaZikaron is the bird that died, that was shechted. And Yom HaTzmaut is the bird that flies away. And that's every one of us. By keeping Torah and mitzvos and serving Hashem as best as we can. Have a wonderful Shabbos.